This is Remnant Bride Radio, bringing to you Time with Gary, a common man with an uncommon understanding. Now, from RemnantBrideRadio.com, here's Gary Naylor.
Hi, this is Gary Naylor. Let's spend some time together. If I was to ask you, what is faith? How would you define faith? What would you answer? I've asked other people that same question, and many times the answer is, they quote Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They probably say that because it's a biblical question. They want to give a Bible answer, thinking they're safe. But actually, that is not the definition of faith. What we will find in our discussion in this broadcast is that that actually is the mechanics of faith, not a definition. But before we get very far into the broadcast, let's introduce our guest co-host this in our time together, Chris Meyer from Denver, Colorado. Chris, it's great to have you, for us to be together again.
Gary, it's good to be with you again.
Okay, let's turn right to you and ask that question. Now, you've heard this teaching before, so go B.C. before the before you heard the teaching. And if I was to ask you, before you heard this teaching, what is faith? What would you have answered?
Well, there's two answers that I would give you. What I was taught early on, that number one, faith is a force, taught by the faith movement teachers. Number two, it would be the definition that we've always thought in Hebrews, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Those would be my two definitions of faith, BC.
Yes. Now, when you say faith is a force, you are saying that, I assume, you're probably saying that faith is creative.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Now, what we will do in this broadcast is find out what true creative faith is, which is not what many people think it to be. Chris, let us start together, if we could, in this, in my own account, my own story of how I began to understand what true faith was or is. It goes back to the mid-70s. I had a Renault 16. And the car was not running well, and I knew I had to either fix it or just get another one. And and when you get into Christianity and especially some of the things like faith movement, you know, you if you can really think of something big, you're more spiritual, right?
Yes.
Yes. Well, so I thought, you know, maybe I can just have the faith and believe God for a car. And But it was a nagging question of what I was going to do. Well, the weekend came, and I had to decide, was I going to believe God for a car, which means car payments? They seem to go together, don't they?
Yes.
And was I going to believe God for a car and car payments, or was I going to fix this Renault and try to fix it? Well, I didn't know what to do, and so I went out to the garage. We had a little office out there. I knelt down, and I said, Father, what do I do? And the Holy Spirit answered me, and he says, what do you have the faith to do?
Amazing.
A great question. And I said, well, I do not have faith for car payments. I knew that the answer was to operate according to the faith that I had. So I grabbed a wrench. I went outside. I popped the hood. I pulled the head. I took the head in, had it examined, the valves were bad, had the head reground, new valves put in, put the head back on, the new retooled head back on the car, and drove it for another 3-4 years. That was my first experience in what true faith was.
I don't see faith as a force in action there.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and in the scope of that teaching, that would be true. In the scope of the teaching that we're going to cover in this broadcast, it is totally relevant, and it is a force in action. Because really what counts is that we do the will of the Father no matter what it is, whether it's to go out and buy a new car or to grab a wrench. Faith is faith, and the other is presumption. A few years later, we'll advance forward to the early 80s. Yahweh spoke to me one day, and he said, I want to teach you faith. Chris, those same people that you have been referring to, which would be Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, and by the way, you've probably heard this before. You know what they say about Copeland and Hagin? They say that Copeland Hagin said, you can chew it, just don't swallow it.
Classic. I got to remember that.
Yes. I swallowed some of that stuff once, the real Copenhagen, and boy, did I get sick, and I learned not to. My belly was in pain quickly.
That's very good.
And so I learned as an early ag boy, don't chew the Copenhagen, or don't swallow it either. And so when Yahweh told me, I want to teach you faith, my response was, you're kidding. Why do you want to do that? You've got enough people out there teaching on faith. I actually objected to it. But you know, you argue with Yahweh God for about 30 seconds. Then you say, yes, sir. And what I ended up doing, Chris, was I took my concordance. Every place in the Bible where the word faith was used, I wrote it out on a sheet of paper. I wrote the reference and what it said. I did that through every passage in the Bible. And then I took a pair of scissors and I cut them all up into individual units. Each scripture stood by itself. And then I sat down on the floor and I started laying them out on the floor to see what the Bible says about faith and organize it. Well, what I began to see, Chris, and this is one of the things you've marveled at, is that faith, just like we human beings, is a trinity. I mean, if God is only complete by being Father, Son, and Spirit, and if you and I are only complete by being Spirit, Soul, and Body, it makes sense that faith is going to be a trinity as well. Would you agree?
It would not make sense that it wouldn't have a three-part prong to it.
Well, one of the true evidences is James. He says, you say you have faith. Well, I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, even as the spirit is dead without the body, so faith without works is dead. That's going to tell you right there's going to be a trinity. Would you agree?
Yes. Spirit, soul, and body, yes.
Spirit, soul, and body. So the question is, what is the trinity of faith? Well, here's what I found. The trinity of faith is hearing first, that's like God the Father, believing, number two, it's like the Son, and the third is acting. And so it makes a lot of sense when James said that if you don't have works, which is the acting, then faith is dead, being by itself. So it's the same thing. You can hear, you can believe, but if you do not put actions to your faith, then your faith is dead. It's not fulfilled in its complete measure.
So then why are so many Christians failing in their faith? If they are they missing a part of the Trinity of faith when they apply it?
Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk about specifically failing in faith. Now, there's a second thing to that we want to make sure and address. But let's talk about failed faith. I think one of the best testimonies of faith is Moses. When he went up to the Sea of Reeds, otherwise called the Red Sea, Yahweh God told him to take his staff, and he held it up, and the water separated, and they walked through the two walls of waters on the right and the left. They walked through on dry land. He heard from God, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He believed. He heard, number one. He believed, and he acted, and he walked through. Now, let's talk about Pharaoh. So here's Pharaoh, and he comes up. Now, has he heard from God? He looks and he sees what Moses did. So Pharaoh believed. And then he acted. Did it work?
No.
No. What was missing?
He missed hearing from God.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people do. They will take some name it and claim it scripture, and they'll say, this is what God always does, therefore, we will believe it and we will act. But they miss the most important element. They missed. Chris, you've played baseball. Have you ever hit the ball, run to second, run to third, come home and scored?
No.
No. What happened?
Well, I missed first.
You missed first. If a person does not spend time hearing from God and knowing what his will is, and then tries to believe and act, it is exactly what Pharaoh did. It's called presumption.
Well, what if, you know, the book of Romans talks about listening and hearing the word of God from a preacher.
Yes.
And then believing and acting.
Is that
still considered hearing from God?
Well, I have had pastors speak something, and I know it was Yahweh God's word to me. In fact, I lost 7 years of my life because I didn't listen to God speak through a man. Chris, you know I talk about God circles. You have to have people come into your life for God to be big in your life. God is only as big as your God circle. And there are people who will speak, and it will be the voice of God. And you have to know it's Him. But yes, there are sometimes the people's moved by the faith of pastors, and God is speaking through them. But there are also times a pastor could speak, and it's not Yahweh God speaking to that individual, and it's not true faith.
Even if they're preaching the Scripture?
Even if they're preaching the Scripture, they have to hear from God as to what the will of the Father is. Chris, you've read Reese Howell's Intercessor.
I have several times.
Several times. Reese Howell's, let's look at one of his examples. A person came up and said, will you pray for healing? Now, you've read it more recently than me, I'm sure. And what did Reese do? He sought Yahweh God as to whether God's will was to heal this individual or not. He didn't lay hands on him and say, okay, I'll try to stir up my faith. Let's take two scriptures about faith. Romans 12:3. Let me read it for you. It says, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Now, most people miss this next part of the verse for its true meaning, because it says, for God has allotted to each a measure of faith, or the measure of faith. Most people want to claim that they have the measure of faith. They missed the whole point of that verse. They said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, for it is God who has given you the measure of faith. We can't boast in ourselves, and that's the other passage. The other passage is Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Where does faith come from? When we look at the true trinity of faith, faith comes from God. You can listen to men all day long. You can get all psyched up. You can convince yourself of something, but if you haven't heard from God, you're not walking in faith. I had a pastor call me once, and he was encouraging me to leave a home that we built for women and children. I facetiously told him, well, Pastor, I'm sure you can understand that in order for me to leave, I have to first hear from God. And I mean that. I waited until I heard the voice of God, and then I acted. And then I called up the man that pastor represented, and I said, I've heard from Yahweh God. I'll be out of this by the end of the month. We have to spend time seeking Yahweh God. If we are going to walk circumspectly, Chris, we have to know in our heart that this is Yahweh God, and then walk in that. And that's the beginning of true faith, hearing first.
I know when I looked up Romans 10:17 in anticipation of this session together, I looked up the word. It says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I remember in my years past in my study, there's the word can be either a logos, which is a written word, or rhema, which is the spoken word.
That is true.
So I went to the Strong's Concordance, and I looked up that word in that context, and it is the rhema. It's the spoken word of God.
And there is a difference, isn't there?
There is. And so that is consistent with what you are saying about hearing from God.
Yes.
And I don't think, Gary, there's any question that if somebody knows, and as I finish this, I want to ask you a separate question. I don't think there's any question if somebody hears from God that they're faced with a decision. Am I going to believe and act, or am I going to not believe? So how do you know that it's God speaking to you?
Mm. Yes, that's the hard one, isn't it, Chris?
It is.
Sometimes it's not easy to know, and there's sometimes you either wait, or you look at the reality of what's at hand, and you do what you know is right. There's a scripture in Peter. It says, "Submit yourself to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." And sometimes I'll give you an example, Chris. I heard from Yahweh God in 1979. He told me, "Move to Dallas." I was living in Austin, Texas. I heard His voice. He spoke three words: "Move to Dallas." I put the house on the market. The first person came to look at it was a widow woman. She accepted the price that I was asking, and I was ready to sell the house and move to Dallas. The elders of my church came to me and says, "We think you're wrong. We think this is not God." What was I to do? Was I to go by that what I heard God say, or am I to listen to my elders? Here was my response. The Bible tells me clearly that I am to submit to my elders. Therefore, if I'm going to obey God, I must obey His word as well. I canceled the contract on the house. I told Yahweh, if they're wrong, and it was not it was your will for me to move to Dallas, which I believe it was, then they will be held accountable and not me. They will be judged, because I am obeying your word. I submitted to them. I took the house off the market a year later. I knew I had to move. It was obvious. I took a trip to Dallas. I came back and I went to the pastor and I said, "Pastor," I said, "timing has got to be right for me to move." He talked with the elders and came back to me and said, "We agree," and he blessed me. I had heard from God, but I have to hear it from, it has to be consistent with the word too. You know, Chris, here's one of the most profound statements a person can ever grasp in their walk. That very thing. A walk with God is just that. It is one step at a time. It's not an easy, quick fix. It's not a knee jerk. It is a walk with Him, walking circumspectly. If you seek to walk circumspectly and do what you know is right with all your heart, if you're wrong, Yahweh God is merciful and He will correct it. But,
Was the Father teaching you something there that you not only need to hear from Him, but also be obedient to His Word?
Absolutely. And what it did, by submitting to His Word, which is to submit to Him, it delayed us for 1 year. That delay was important. It was important that I do that, and it put me in Dallas at the time that I was supposed to be there. As far as the pastors went, after I left that church, it split into five different groups. It exploded, flew apart. It's almost like Yahweh God judged it. He can use people's error to establish our timing. If we keep our heart before Yahweh God and to do His will uncompromisingly with full convictions, then things will work out in the long run.
And many would ask God, why didn't you just wait a year to tell Him to go? Why ask Him a year before?
Well, one, it proved my faithfulness to Him. It proved my faithfulness to the Word of God, and it proved my faithfulness to authority. Learning authority is critical. And so that's an example of you hear from God, and then you You have to, it has to be right. That's that circumspect way. Sometimes Yahweh God speaks something, and then he waits a while to fulfill it. And there's no pat answer.
What if somebody belongs to, say, a Catholic church or another particular denomination where they don't have elders, or they don't have anybody that they can turn to? What's their responsibility or obligation there?
If they're in the church and they know they're supposed to be there, then they better be listening to Yahweh God, and God can use, a priest who's, not real spiritual. He can, but Yahweh God could tell him to leave that church too. I don't know. There are no pat answers to these things. So that's, and what we've done is we've dwelled upon the necessity of hearing from God. And of course, the second part is to believe. That is sometimes a hard one. The cares of this world, doubt, confusion, the counsel of other people, instead of listening to God and doing what he says, you listen to your wife, or you listen to someone that you shouldn't be listening to, coworkers. You're listening to your own flesh and say, well, I really don't want to do that. And so at that point, faith dies, because faith had its hearing, but its believing did not come about, and therefore faith dies. The third part, of course, is you hear God, you know what you're supposed to do, you believe, but you're just afraid, and you don't carry it out. And then again, faith without works, of course, is dead, being by itself. Faith dies.
I suppose there are folks who have heard from God and sincerely believed and acted, but it didn't come to pass. They failed.
Yes, and that brings us to that other point that I said we need to make sure and remember. Now, as we course through this, Chris, let's keep in mind, after we cover this point, we want to talk about the ministry or function of faith, which goes back to Hebrews 11:1. But, okay, let's address that. You hear from God, you believe, and you act, and it doesn't happen. You go, well, maybe I didn't hear from God. That's a possibility, but there is another possibility. You can hear from God, you can believe, and you can act, and you can have complete faith. But remember that same chapter that talks about faith, Hebrews 11?
Yes.
It also says, and they died without receiving the promise.
That's true.
There are some times in which your faith is tested, and let's take Abraham. Abraham was told to kill his son, Isaac. He puts him up on the altar, raises the knife to stab him, and he says, stop, that's enough. Now I know that you obey me. Obey me. Sometimes faith is just that. Are you going to trust Yahweh God? And so that the question will be, did you hear from God? If you did, then Yahweh God can pass over it. Whenever the Spirit came, or whenever Yahweh spoke to me in the 80s about wanting to teach me faith, I had that brief one-line argument. Right before that, he had taught me several principles, what I call the ways of God. One of them was the passing over principle. That is unique to Remnant Bride teachings. People can go to the website, remnantbride.com, go to the writings, and look for the passing over principle. That's the title of the article, or the writing. And what we find is that Yahweh passes over the first, he passes over the second, and he takes the third. What happens is, whenever you pass over the first, you think, I failed, or I didn't hear from God. Not so. It can very well be that you heard from God, but God was going to let that promise die. Very, very, extremely difficult time to go through, because you begin to doubt yourself, other people can criticize you, and you can look like a total failure, which Reese Howes often went through. He called them stepping stones. Getting to Yahweh God's will He went through stepping stones. He would say something. It looked like a total failure. It was undoubtedly the passing over principle in action. So you pass over the first, death, and then you something else comes up. He passes over that, burial. But if the passing over principle is in effect, then the third is the fulfillment. And that's been so many occasions of my life that I know it to be true without a doubt.
So you mentioned death and burial, so would that be considered the resurrection?
You have death and burial, which are the two passing overs, and then the third part of faith is the resurrection, which would be the fulfillment.
Interesting.
Of the promise.
I've never heard that before.
Well, and see, again, that's another trinity. Death, burial, resurrection is a trinity. And that's the course of our lives sometimes. The passing over principle is more specifically Passover 1, Passover twice, and take the third. There are other times he passes over one and then he takes a second.
Well, this would explain why things happen to people.
Yes, they know they've heard from God, and they're shocked. They're so surprised it didn't happen. And they think, well, they failed, but not necessarily. In that chapter, in Hebrews 11, there are a number of events in which people have experienced fulfillments, and then, of course, disappointments. If we could, now, if you're ready to move along, we're going to talk about the ministry or function of faith.
Okay.
All right. I want to go to Hebrews 11, and I want to read some passages that are more literal than the way they are translated, say, in the New American Standard. It says, verse 2 of Hebrews 11, it says, "For by faith, the men of the old," it says, "gained approval," in my New American Standard. It's literally, "had witness borne to them." They had witness borne to them. Now, Chris, think about faith. Faith is hearing from God, believing, and then acting. And so it says, for by faith, the men of old had witness borne to them. Verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness to him about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." Verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he had witness borne to him that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." What we find, and keep in mind, those passages I read just then are right on the heels of this passage that people usually respond and say, well, this is what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What we see is that those are examples of what faith accomplishes. And I'm going to restate that verse 1 in a more accurate Greek translation. Faith substantiates things hoped for, it evidences things not seen. When Enoch, before he was caught up, Yahweh God witnessed to him that he was acceptable, and he obviously knew he would ascend, just like Elijah. Elijah knew that he was going to ascend alive. Both of these men obviously had witness borne to them as to what Yahweh God was going to do. That is the mechanics or the function of faith. Faith is that you understand what Yahweh God's will is before it comes about. So people are to operate off of faith. Now, this gets back to what you asked earlier. Can you just believe God for something? That's not true faith. That's presumption. Do you see that based on the mechanics of faith, you see it is entirely necessary that you hear from God? Because that is to carry out these things. You hear from God, With that faith, then you know what to do. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And so it's faith is not, can I believe God for a new car? It's going out, getting on your knees and saying, what am I supposed to do? And he answers and says, what do you have the faith for? Well, to pick up a wrench. And that is faith. The other would have been presumption, and I would have encumbered myself with a terrible debt and tried to go around telling everybody how great my faith was.
Now, if you had faith for a new car, you would have been able to believe it, correct?
Oh, exactly. Yes. Chris, there are many times. Whenever we left that ranch, Yahweh God told me to move to Washington State. Chris, I immediately started making plans to move. Did I have a house there? Did I have a place to stay? No, I did not. But Yahweh God told me to move to Washington State. That's good enough for me. And so I went in. I went out and scheduled the truck to rent. I started making plans. I started shutting everything down around me. Liquidating everything, and I made plans to get that truck. Well, in that 2 weeks of preparation to move, a woman in a basement got crossways with the people who own the home, and she left. That opened up the basement. So just a few days before we left, the door opened for us to have a place. We got in our truck, gratefully, and when we got there, we knew where we were going to be temporarily. And Yahweh God provided the way. I did not say, well, yes, we will do that as long as this and this and this happens. No. I knew Yahweh God told us to move to Washington.
So you heard and then you began to walk it out.
Yes, and I didn't wait until all the details were worked out. I heard from God and I acted in harmony with it. In fact, what I just so told you is the best definition there is of faith. Faith is hearing from God and acting in harmony with it. Can I say that again? Faith is hearing from God and acting in harmony with it.
That's such a simple definition, Gary. Thousands of books have been written about what faith is.
Well, I can give you Hebrews 11:1 is, keep in mind, is the mechanics of faith. And if you want the closest scriptural definition there is, it's Romans 4:21. It says the full assurance that what God has promised, he is also able to perform. That's the closest scripture definition of faith. The full assurance that what God has promised, he is also able to perform. Let's put that in common language. Hearing from God, acting in harmony with it. That's true faith.
Certainly God's not going to ask you to do something that he wouldn't fulfill. Well, unless the passing over
principle. Unless the passing over principle. But keep in mind, the reason he asks you to do something and it's not fulfilled is because he wants to do something far better. I'll ask you this, Chris. Which is better, life or resurrection life?
Resurrection life.
Okay, but how do you get there?
Death and burial.
Death and burial. So sometimes whenever Yahweh God says, do something, and you do it, and it dies, it's because there's something better for you, but you have to go through the death and burial process. For example, when Yahweh God told me to move to Dallas in 1979, he also called me to the pastorate. I didn't want to be a pastor. Had no interest whatsoever. In fact, that's one of the reasons I lost 7 years of my life in disobeying Yahweh God through a pastor's voice. So I obviously, whenever he called me to the pastorate, I said, okay, didn't want it, but okay, I'm willing. Well, after a while, I was more than willing. I was happy about it. And then after a while, I was excited about it. I thought this was wonderful. And then after that, he killed it. He called me to the pastorate, and he killed it. And I can remember walking across the living room whenever I knew what it meant. He told me one time, I'm going to teach you the death principle, which I thought it meant I was going to have to get a job. But what he what he did is he taught me the death principle of, he called me to the pastorate and it was going to die. I can remember walking across the living room floor, stopping at the doorway, at the entrance into the hallway. I leaned my head against the wall and I said, "Father, if I didn't know you better, I would say you are a cruel God. You called me, I obeyed, you gave me a willingness, an excitement about it, and then you killed it. But the purpose of those failures is that there is something to come that is an even greater fulfillment. That was a price, a seed that had to be sown for something that is more important."
That's really incredible for, I think, the listeners to really hear that and to try and understand that it's not always about success and prosperity and riches in your life, but that there is a death part that's part of His will.
We had a thrift store because we had a ministry to the needy for 13 years. And a man came in and he was standing at the front and he was so excited. He was just beaming, he and his young wife. And he said, "I was called into the ministry." And he was so excited. And I'd been on radio for 12 years, so he knew who I was. And I looked at him and I said, if he was really called to the ministry, I said, "I am looking at a piece of raw meat." I'm sure it went right over his head. But if he ever remembered it, he'd get down the road, he'll realize that. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Those whom He loves, He scourges and he purifies everyone, all that He receives. To be called of God is a high price. In fact, if you get all these prosperity preachers who make the money, I would rather be a street person than to be them.
Yes, I've heard you mention that before, and the more time that I've spent just talking with you and reading the website and studying scriptures, I wouldn't want any part of that as well. I agree.
No. Walking with Yahweh God is not easy. Look what He did to His own Son. You say, "Well, He died for us." Well, He also says, "Take up my cross." And Paul said, "I die daily." If a person really seeks Yahweh God with all their heart, there is generally a price. Some people have higher prices to pay than others. Some people pay the price for that person. But there is a price to walk with a God who would send His Son to die, and then His Son likewise tells His followers to do likewise, to do the same.
I know you might want to tell the listeners the story about when you went to a Kenneth Hagin meeting and went up to pray.
Yes, that was my one experience in a Kenneth Hagin meeting. Went up there and I went with a number of friends who were excited about hearing Hagin, and I really didn't. He never meant anything to me. I didn't approve, didn't agree with him. And that was even before Yahweh God taught me. And so they all wanted to go up front and be prayed for. And, of course, He touched people's heads and they all fall over, you know. And so I went forward and I was thinking, well, okay, if I'm going to be up here, I probably ought to use my time and pray for something. So I started thinking, I thought about this guy at church who needed prayer. And so while I was standing up there, I started to tell Yahweh God, you know, what to do about blessing this guy. He interrupted me, and it made a tremendous impact on my life. He said, "Don't tell me what to do."
Yahweh God said that to you?
Yes.
Right up on the altar?
Yes.
Right up in the front?
I was standing up there waiting for him, Hagin, to come along, and he told me, "Don't tell me what to do."
Ouch.
It stunned me. I had never heard him speak so matter of fact to me. I didn't pray, and whenever Hagin came along, I said, "I'm not going to fall over for you." You know, all these people are falling over. I was still standing after all of that. And Chris, it did make an impact on my life. I am real careful not to go before God and start telling him what to do. I was in a meeting once, and the guy next to me was obviously a big Hagen Copeland fan. And he started, and of course, there's a teaching about it. He started commanding God what to do. I literally thought, man, where is me a table to crawl under so when lightning strikes, it's not going to hit me, you know? That is so bizarre to think that we're going to tell Yahweh God what to do. And he's going to do it, the creator of the heavens and the earth.
It's really pompous of us to even think that, isn't it?
Well, yes, especially whenever the scriptures specifically say, when you come before him, be a few words. My prayer life is extremely simple. I submit myself to Yahweh God in humility, confessing what I am in my weakness, and seeking to understand his voice and his will for my life. I've got a friend right now who's dying of cancer. He's a Christian friend. He's a man that I have known over the years. He was a board member of the Ministry to the Poor that we had. I served in a church with him. And, you know, I wish that Yahweh God would tell me to do something to go heal him. But he hasn't. And I'm not going to go and pray unless I hear from Yahweh God. If he speaks to me to do it, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm going to be quiet.
Now, can you just say a general prayer for him?
Oh, I can. It's an expression of myself. But, you know, sometimes, Chris, and I'll be honest about this, sometimes I think prayers are just for emotional succoring, and sometimes they're for ego, to make you look like you care. I have a policy. Do not pray for anybody unless I am willing to be the answer to that prayer.
You know, Reese Howells speaks about that.
Well, I believe that. If I'm to pray for someone's finances, I gotta be the one that provide the finances. If I gotta pray for someone to get some carpet in a bedroom, I have to be willing to go lay the carpet. Don't ask God to do something that I'm not willing to be the answer for.
Well, where were you about 25 years ago in my life? It took me, I don't know how many years to get some I think erroneous teachings out of my, you know, subconscious or whatever, and begin to feed on the right thing. And this business of faith, of just simply hearing from God, not commanding God, not trying to make God do something for you, but just simply know that you've heard from God, you believe it, and then you act on it. How simple.
Yes, it is simple, and it is. It's a simple recipe, but it's not simple to carry out.
No.
It requires a commitment to say, I'm not going to do something unless I hear from Yahweh God, or unless I know that what I'm going to do is right. And it's that walk of faith, which is not easy. So we've talked about faith, the Trinity, to hear, believe, and act. We've talked about the mechanics of faith, of that faith is to, what's the word, have witness borne to us. It's to bear witness to us before something happens. Faith substantiates things hoped for. It evidences things not seen. There are times, many times in our lives, in which we do something because we know it's the will of God. We walk by faith. We don't see it yet. That's certainly been the case with Renda Bride in my walk over the 14 years. By the way, tomorrow, from this broadcast, tomorrow is August the 7th, which happens to be my birthday. But that is also the day that I came into the Renda Bride in 1994. Tomorrow's 14 years.
Amen.
And that has been a walk of faith. I have not received many of the things that I have waited for. But why do I keep going? Because of faith. Faith substantiates the things hoped for. It evidences things that are not yet seen.
It's because you're confident that you've heard from God.
I can do no less, Chris. Whenever you know that what you've heard is Yahweh God, you can do no less. You have to walk it out, even if it costs you everything. Even if you don't get the results that you want right away, you still walk it out, because your purpose in life should be to glorify Him and to give Him pleasure.
You're talking about a hard life, Gary.
Yes, yes. Look at the Son of God. He sought the will of the Father, and it cost Him. But it is not easy, and you give up your own will to follow Him. So we've seen the Trinity of Faith, the Hear, Believe, and Act. We've seen the Ministry of Faith, or the function of faith, which is to cause us to walk out something as though it exists, and here's where the Haganism and such missed it, as though it exists, the only reason you do it is because you heard from God and you know that's what you've got to do. And that's what faith does, based, of course, first on hearing and then believing and acting. We see the definition of faith, hearing from God and acting in harmony with it. The source of faith, Yahweh God, not us. Faith, the faith that you have is not your own, but it's the gift of God. You know, so there's no reason to boast. Now, there's another passage that is one of my favorites, Chris. And someone might be saying this. Well, how do I increase my faith? Now, you've listened to another broadcast where I talked about this, and hopefully you don't remember what the answer was.
Okay.
How do you increase your faith? Because, you know, that was a question that was directed specifically, a specific question directed to Yeshua. Do you remember me talking about that?
I do. I believe it's in Matthew.
Luke.
Okay. Then I didn't listen well.
Hey, listen, I have a hard time with addresses. It is Luke. It's Luke 17.
Okay.
It is an incredible answer. It puzzles one whenever they read it, why he would even answer it. In fact, it's so puzzling, you never even hear it, you seldom ever hear it talked about. The story is whenever, because the apostles or the, you know, the disciples said, we want to have increased faith. And he said, okay, there was a man who was worked in the field all day long, tended the sheep, worked in the field all day long. And he came home to the master. The master didn't say, here, sit down and eat. You know, you've been working all day. He said, go prepare something for me, and then whenever you get through, you can eat. So he's been laboring all day long in the field. He comes in, you know, now he has to clean himself up and prepare food for the master. And Yeshua says that the servant really did only that which was required of him. And he said the same, in answer to faith, he says, be the same way. You say, I am an unworthy servant. I have done only that which is required of me. That was the answer to faith. Increase faith. Here's what I see in that. Number one, labor. Do His will. Do His will. Serve others. Don't be thinking about yourself. If you want increased faith, then serve others. Don't serve yourself will. The third thing is, always be willing to go that second mile. Always be willing to pay the price even more. If He has you to do something and you say, boy, that was a hard one, and then He puts another hard one on you, you do it. Chris, I can remember a time, and I'll tell this story, and hopefully people can relate to it, or it will challenge them one. I went through an extremely difficult time in my life. In fact, it was so bad that on one occasion, I spoke to Yeshua. And I said, you know, I actually was speaking to the Father. I said, Father, you know, a few hours on the cross looks very appealing at this point.
Wow.
I would love to have escaped my pain in a few hours. It had been relentless pain for me for days on end, where I was just gutted. The pain was so terrible that crucifixion looked like a nice escape. After that period, I went out, and I can't remember the timing of it, but it was sometime after. I went out into the pasture. We lived on a farm, not where you plow fields, but you have livestock. And I went out under this tree, and I laid down on my face on the ground, prostrate. And I said, Father, you have taken me so very, very low. And I said, Father, if it's your will to take me lower, I give you that right to do it. I really didn't think he would. I was, maybe there was a hope that I had already gone deep enough. But Chris, from there, it got even worse. It got so bad that I wished the sun would not even come up the next day. I really grieved that the sun would rise the next day. And he took me through some terrible times. In fact, right before the worst of the times, he had me outside under two wings. And I thought, oh, angel's wings. Then I remember they were God's wings. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. The next day, there was an explosion in my life that affected the loss of my family. And I thought, boy, if this is what it means to be under God's wings, you know, this is not such a great experience.
Just think of the price that you've paid, Gary, and your walk. It's amazing.
Well, I hope it is effectual, because, Chris, what we hope for is often very daunting in my life to even consider. And I'm not speaking that in a high way. I'm talking about daunting. In other words, it looks often impossible. But there is a price to be paid in walking with Yahweh. Sometimes people pay the price for others. Paul said it this way: even if I am being poured out as a sacrifice offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. There are people who pay prices for the sake of others. All creation groans and travails for the revelation of the sons of God. Creation pays a price for the revelation of the sons of God. They groan and travail. They go through difficulties. Many times, we will go through difficulties for the sake of others. I know one time Yahweh asked me, and I was walking around the block, and he said, are you willing to pay the price for others? So that they can receive the same reward that you will receive, but not have to pay it. Are you willing to pay that price for them? It's not that I resisted pain and difficulties. I didn't know if they'd really appreciate it unless they paid the price, but I was willing. And that's what intercession is. Sometimes we are called to pay a price for the good and the well-being of others. So faith can lead us there. Faith can lead us down. By faith, Yeshua was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit for 40 days, 40 nights. We can go through difficult times. So sometimes grabbing the wrench is grabbing baseness and humility, being humbled, rather than buying that car which the world will provide you.
Right, and buying the car is, in some ways, is the easy way out. And you can go around and boast to people that, look what I received by faith, but in reality you didn't. You're stuck with car payments, and you didn't believe God for anything.
Yeah, that's exactly what describes the gentleman. He was at this church. We were at this church back in Lubbock, and he came to me one day and said, come out here and look at this car that God gave me. So we went out and looked at it. It was a nice car. He was really excited about it. A few months later, he was complaining to me. He said, man, those payments on that car are about to kill me. And I said, but you told me that God gave you the car. He said, yeah, but he gave me the car payments with it.
Well, this is very enlightening, Gary. It sheds some new light on the simplicity of faith, but also the seriousness of faith.
Indeed. Indeed. And hopefully it'll give the hearer a new understanding of what true faith is, so they can truly walk in faith, knowing that faith is obeying. Faith isn't coming up to some expectation that people have. Faith isn't being able to gloat, you know, that you're going to pray for someone to be healed. Faith is hearing from God and acting in harmony with it, even if that means sealing your lips and being quiet, or going away like Paul did for a while. You know, if someone is going to be exalted, they're going to be based first, and they have to be willing to do that. Otherwise, it's just cheap. It doesn't last. It's self-gratification, and it's not true faith. It ends up the same results that Pharaoh experienced. It's eventual death. So we go the way of Moses. We hear, we believe, and then we act.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, do you have any other questions or comments? I think, Chris, we covered it all in this hour.
Well, I would just say to you and to the listener that this is certainly in a very, if not the most important subject, is important to the believer, and that is that our faith is what really determines our actions. And this name it and claim it business is for the birds. I knew years ago that there was something wrong with that, and of course it never worked for me, and now I know why. So we really encourage the listeners to simply see faith as hearing from God, believing, and acting in harmony, and then you'll see the results. It's very encouraging.
And you said it well, it's for the birds, because remember when Yeshua talked about the kingdom being corrupted, it was the birds that nest in the nest.
That's
in
right.
So
right.
It is for the birds, because it does corrupt the kingdom.
That's right, it does corrupt the kingdom. That's right.
And Chris, the thing about it, faith, we do know that faith pleases God. When you now understand what true faith is, you can understand why faith pleases God.
Yes.
You know, you've got a son. What if your son was constantly doing willful things that you really didn't even want him to do, and he thinks, boy, this is great because I'm doing this, and it really is even contrary to your will? That does not honor you, does it? And it doesn't please you.
It doesn't. And conversely, if he's doing things that are according to my will, it's pleasing to me.
Yes.
He's obedient. He listens. He obeys. He hears his father, and he acts accordingly, and the result would be positive and not negative.
That's exactly right, and that's why it is so critical that you hear from God and act in harmony with it. That's what pleases him. The other part of this faith, not only does it please the Father, but it gives us a reward, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because we do the will of the Father.
Yes, and it pleases the Father.
Pleases the Father. It gives us a reward, especially when we're patient. Whenever there's failure, we keep trusting in him, we keep listening for his voice, and to walk in his ways.
And what father wouldn't want to bless his son for that behavior?
Exactly. That's what I hope he does for us, Chris.
Amen.
In the days ahead. Well, as always, you're an excellent co-host.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful questions, and your insight is very valued, too.
I appreciate this time together, and I look forward to another talk with you at some point in the near future.
Indeed, and I look forward to the same, and we will rejoice in the days before us for that event.
All right, blessings to you, brother.
Blessings to you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.